Very good morning and welcome to our service for the 24th of January. Our introit. Christ is our Lord. Christ is our King. Alive, though crucified. Seated on the throne of grace, present with us now. Christ is our servant. Christ is our beloved. Amen. We join together in singing our opening hymn, number 67 from Rejoice and Sing. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Hymn 67. So we join together in our opening prayer this morning. Glorious and amazing God, we gather this morning to bring our praise to you. We call you to be with us, to fulfill your promise, that where two or three gathered, there you'll be in their midst. So we come. We come acknowledging your love for each of us. We lift our hearts in response to that love. We raise our songs in praise of your goodness. We offer our adoration in response to your holiness. Hear us, O God, our Father, for we confess our sins. We have not done that which you have directed us to. We have not called upon the power that you have offered us. We have doubted your ability to support us. We have done things that are contrary to your love and your compassion, and there is little health in us. Lord, forgive us. We come penitent, seeking your renewal. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you say to each of us, arise. Be embraced by my love. I forgive you. Your sins are taken away. Follow me and sin no more. Amen. So we join together in the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our first reading today comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the last day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Amen. Our epistle reading is 1 Corinthians 7, beginning to read at verse 29. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they have none. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use things of the world, as if not engrossed in them. For the world in its present form is passing away. Amen. Finally, we read from Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, and beginning to read at verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Amen. Amen. May God inspire us with those readings from his holy word, that our eyes and hearts may understand them more deeply. Amen. Our hymn is number 567. Thy hand, O God, has guided thy flock from age to age. Hymn 567 from Rejoice and Sing. Corinthians 7 and 29. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they did not. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Now, those words of Paul may seem very strange to us, but he's making plain that although marriage is fine, his motive in dissuading fellow Christians from marriage is to spare them the hardship and the suffering which accompanies arriving times of trouble and persecution. For the time for doing the Lord's work short, and it was coming to an end. Now, this didn't necessarily mean that he was speaking of the second coming of Jesus. He was perhaps anticipating the severe persecution that curtailed the freedom to witness that preceded the enlightenment of Constantine, the persecution of the Christian church. The time of the sign of the fish of secret society, the time of John's inspired, coded book of Revelation to encourage a hidden Christian people. What Paul is saying is, if life brings sadness, live beyond it. Don't be bound by it. If things are joyous, don't be too engrossed in them. Those who are blessed with material possessions, they shouldn't cling to them as though they would have them always. The reason for this challenge was that the material things of this world were changing and disappearing. And this is as true for us today in many ways as it was in Paul's time. We should cling only to the certainties of God's constant love and its direction for us. We've seen in recent times, haven't we, that God once again has provided grace in the form of a vaccine, the product of science dedicated to saving humanity from the pandemic which presently we're enduring. Christ has been with us throughout the suffering. He's felt the pain of so many. God sees our fears. He's not separated himself from us or from it. He's both party to the suffering, and through his suffering, he brings relief. Jonah 3 and 5. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And then verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented, and he didn't bring on them the destruction he threatened. The Ninevites, they recognize the voice of the supreme God, whatever his name, whatever the name they may have given him, and they repented. A fast was usually accompanied by the wearing of sackcloth. It was the coarsest of cloth. It was usually made from goat's hair. It was the normal dress of the poor, the prisoners, the slaves. It was worn by those who mourned. The king and the wealthy had associated themselves in repentance with the poor. There was a sorrow for the inequity within their society. And in that repentance, there was a desire to create a more equal society. I wonder, do we see murmurings of this desire within our society today? Mark 1 and 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their net and followed him. Now, I've no doubt you remember that last week I spoke of those Sunday school anniversary presentations we used to have many years ago. Well, once again, I came across one of those poems among my memorabilia, written by the same anonymous author from whom I quoted last week. And in its simple way, it seems to adequately cover perhaps one of the most important parts of the message which we have today. Here's the poem. Peter and Andrew were working, as many times they'd done, casting their nets into the sea beneath a Galilean sun. It was just the work they were doing. Everything seemed the same. It was just a common everyday when the Lord Jesus came. He walked by them on the beach, as many a stranger would do. And the sand danced about around his feet as the gentle breezes blew. He called them as if he knew them. And perhaps he called them by name. There was something compelling in his voice. And they knew it as he came. Fishing had been their living. They hadn't stopped fishing then, for Jesus could use the two brothers, this time as fishers of men. Peter and Andrew followed Jesus, and his disciples then numbered two. And from that small beginning, billions of disciples grew. Perhaps when we're working tomorrow, at a job we think every day, some opportune moment of service might happen to come our way. No matter what we're doing, if our job is large or small, Jesus has no hands but our hands, and he can use them all. Under the circumstances of the past few months, I'm sure many have been touched by human need and compassion to act with the hands of Jesus in serving others. Many have received support, perhaps from unexpected quarters, and they've been challenged by the grace of Jesus working through hands of ordinary human folk. And as we go into the new normal, much that has been experienced by society may be reflected in those who come through our metaphoric church doors, and the direction with which we understand as church we're called to move. Jesus' grace is ever with us, and it manifests itself in strange ways. Jesus' kingdom grows in love and grace. We're continually challenged by God's calling. Praise be to him and the salvation he provides for all in every way. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before our intercessionary prayer, we sing hymn number 355 from Rejoice and Sing. Jesus calls us all the tumult of our lives' wild, restless sea. Hymn 355. loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to bring our concerns for this sad world. We come through the mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring to your feet, Father, our concerns. May our minds be melded into the thinking that you would direct us to, that we might begin to think more fully your thoughts and have more fully your concerns and your compassion for those around us. Firstly, though, we would like to give thanks for the work of so many among us within the National Health Service, and at this present time as they roll out the vaccine that scientific knowledge under the guidance of your love has provided for all humanity. Bless their endeavours and grant that swiftly the protection which the vaccine affords may be made available to all those across the nations as they suffer in desperate need. Amen. Mysterious God, like a child on a balmy summer's day watching a butterfly flit from fragrant flower to flower, we glimpse your kingdom wrought through transformation, writhing pupa to graceful sprite. It flits away. Or, as in the oppressive darkness of a thunderstorm at night, when lightning cleaves the sky and all is revealed, sharp, intense, and urgent, that which was there all along, a distant town, a beautiful vision, and then darkness returns, and it disappears once more. Follow me, you said, your hand outstretched in invitation. It's difficult to catch a butterfly, disruptive to settle in another place. But thank you that we can take your hand once more and try again. Amen. Lord Jesus, for all those known to us who are suffering in any way, either through normal complaint or through the pandemic, we bring them to mind and we bear them up before you in these moments of prayer. We thank you that you're ever present, that you dwell among us and you bear our suffering. You know our pain. You've suffered greater than we. For you died on a cross, falsely accused, innocent, taking on our guilt. Lord Jesus, we know that you understand our pain and live through it. Be with us and grant that we may be more tolerant, more thoughtful, more caring of those around us. So, Lord Jesus, hear our simple prayer. Amen. And for ourselves, we're conscious of our own weakness, but some of it we don't grasp because of our blindness. Enlighten us where our failings lie, and fill that Christ-like hole with your love, that we might think your thoughts and be your people. Grant that we might be as a city set on a hill, shining the love of Jesus to all around us. For we ask all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Amen. For our final hymn, we sing hymn number 289, wonderful presentation by Fanny Crosby. To God be the glory, great things he has done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Hymn 289 from Rejoice and Sing. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner being, that Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith, ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.